Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your host, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Jake. How you doing, bro?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is redefining how business is played in the 21st century. He is the author of Evolved Enterprise and founder of Maverick 1000. Good year to be a founder of Maverick 1000 with Top Gun coming out, right? It is a global collective of visionary entrepreneurs making a difference in the world without taking themselves too seriously. Well, that's a good day for that for me, my friend. Okay, I'm going to tell you that much. So without further ado, Yannick, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jay. Appreciate it.
Hey, it is our pleasure. Let's take a step back. Let's hear from you how you got started in business and get to know each other a little bit.
Yeah, well, my story's got to start with my dad and my parents coming over from Russia, actually. So came over in 1976, and I was about 3 years old. And my dad ended up quitting the job he was working at the hospital center and starting, like all us entrepreneurs do, decide to take that path of entrepreneurship, decide to do it or not do it. And he started a medical equipment sales and service company. And I grew up working there. In any kind of family business, you grew up doing anything and everything. But at 14, I was telemarketing. At 16, the only way I got a car was if I went out and cold called doctors. And I realized that sucked pretty quickly. But then one of my doctor clients turned me on to this idea of direct response advertising and marketing. And I was like, wow, this is fascinating. I could write an ad and doctors could actually respond. I don't have to talk to them until they're excited. And that grew our company from a little regional player to a national player and kind of got, built my chops that way.
How did the company values play into the evolution of the company that you built? Did you ever take shortcuts trying to build a company?
It's interesting. So everything, so culture is such a, culture, company values, I lump that together in a way. And for a while, so the values are usually via osmosis. Most times, most companies don't have, unless they have like something like integrity, respect, some very generic kind of stuff happening. And they may or may not actually fulfill and live those values. So most of the time it's just like kids, right? Like it's like they pay attention to what you do, not what you say.
Yes.
And it's the exact same thing with companies. So a lot of it was via osmosis. And so I learned a lot from my dad and from being in that environment. So, every holiday time it was, we're stocking up on all these gifts and sending them out to all our best clients and all this stuff. And then, just making
this had sure to be pre 2011, of course.
This was
before the Sunset Act. Now, I have a background in pharma and at vaccine sales from back then.
Yeah.
I remember once you got to maybe 2008, I think, is when that Sunshine Act came in and it changed the game. It used to, speaking of culture, it used to actually be an enjoyable position. Then it went to shit like that.
Yeah. Well, so we had a not as enviable spot where we weren't the pharmaceutical rep that,
yeah,
they know, seeing and whining and dining.
Well, it depends. It depends who it was, right?
Yeah, exactly. But even just that little thing of making sure that you really valued your customers and that stuck with me and going above and beyond and making sure that he was always delivering, just looking for ways to deliver more value. And that was actually one of the first things that I wrote in my journal when I decided that I was gonna leave the company and on this journey of becoming originally a millionaire was sort of my idea before the age of 30. I hit that by 31. But one of the things I wrote in my journal was, I get rich by enriching others 10x to 100x in return. And so it was all about what is the value that I can provide and what does that look like? So those values to me are so key. We've actually created something in our family, you two might like this, called the 13 Silver Keys. And so it was designed with the kids in mind. Now that kids are 17 and 15, they're like, if we knew that we were going to create these so long ago and actually kept working, we wouldn't have created them with you. But we kind of ran it almost like an offsite and had little post-it notes about, what's it mean to be, a great person and a good silver and all these things. And then we came up with these 13 silver keys, just like Ben Franklin's virtues, where awesome. He had 13 things that he worked on every single week. And the kids, they kind of moan and groan about it, but they know most of them. And then again, by having something on the wall, it reiterates it, but you actually have to live it. And so we talk about in stories of what happens and
but you're also asking questions. You're not just telling them, you're asking them questions. So it's making their brains process and learn versus just dictating to, which is, I think, also very smart.
Yeah, you're right. The questions and just getting them involved, not just saying here's what it is.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing is, and you may be able to comment on this, you may not, was there ever a time where the actions of the organization did not align with the values and that also created problems?
Yeah. I mean, there's, I think plenty of times. There's funny, one of my mentors, a guy named Ari Weinzweig, who built a company called Zingerman's. He was a co-founder of it, or still
Small
is.
Small Giants, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We love the book. I don't know if you read the book, but he was in there. Yeah.
I remember reading about it. And he's got a couple of really great books that he's authored himself. And so he talks a lot about, you know, we have values, and then every company gets out of integrity at some point. It's just realizing when you're out of integrity, and also the opportunity for other team members to call you on it. Because that when you have set values, then it gives you like a shared vocabulary of not just, okay, well, you know, I feel like we're not doing something right, but what is the language to use around what is it? And I'm trying to think of a time that
I'll take myself to the mat right now, because we, you know, we have our core values, but also as a growing organization, we have been, you know, really trying to get our systems dialed in, our policies and procedures. And we've gotten to the point where new folks coming on board, it takes a minute to absorb that and learn the values, but also the policies and procedures. And we've leaned too hard into that, where it almost feels bureaucratic, and we've lost culture, not like your core value, but we've literally lost culture because it's been too bureaucratic in our organization. And we need to step back and do the human things, where it's more inspirational. We're doing more things that are fun and rewarding people and allowing them to grow and evolve. So I know that, from my perspective in our property management company, we've had to take a step back and say, hey, there's territories that we have that are doing really well and evolved. And there's some that we've had to bring in new team members that we need to focus on the basics and not expect these people to act like tenured managers. So I know that may not fall directly into, like, you know, extreme ownership is a core value or something, but you know, there's values and things at risk right there and culture. So that's one thing that we're working on right now.
Yeah. No, and it's one of those things that it's, so I started as an entrepreneur where it was very much tangible. You had your sales letter, you knew what happened, you knew what the results were, but culture and values are like more of a, it's like a little fuzzier until you realize how
sometimes it's a feeling throughout the organization too. What's the culture right now? Right.
And I learned that from, my friend Tony Hsieh, who just recently passed away, but from Zappos, where he's like, you know, you have to be able, it is not a core value unless you can hire and fire on it. I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Is he the one that came up with that? Because I've heard that, you know, a million and times.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think so. And then also, you know, so many others that I really look up to, like this guy named Chip Conley, who built Joie de Vivre hotels, and he's like, yeah, culture is everything in what we're doing. And then, you know, Ari, and it's just like, okay, well, culture obviously is incredibly important. Let's make sure that we are focused on that. And what does that look like? And the funny thing about that is, so we run a membership organization. You mentioned Maverick 1000. When you think of your team also as like members or like a community, that's even closer to what maybe how you want to run culture as well. It's like, you know, what would you do to have people have a deeper identity with what they.
Well, it's also what the words that you use. And I've said to my team lately is that I don't want to use the word employee anymore. It just feels weird. I said, we're a team, we're all team members, and that's it. And so I've been actually harping on that because it just bothers me. And I don't think it helps morale, it helps cultures. Like,
well,
so
I'll throw out one more thing, which is you could even give them unique language. So that's part of the way of building a community. So, you know, Zappos were Zapponians, and it's like, how do you create this unique language?
Yeah.
You know, for us,
I love it.
It's Mavericks. They love, you know, this identity of being a
it's
Maverick.
Great name too.
but unique language is a big thing, but also big mission, right? Like having that big, highly, you know, the North Star that really leads everything and the mission that everyone can get behind, because that's also, you know, that's the theme of the book around Evolved Enterprise, which is how do we make a bigger impact, have a bigger mission and purpose, because there is a seismic shift happening where team members want to work for a company that has that. They're willing to work harder or even get paid less sometimes, but because of that bigger mission and purpose. And then your end user, your customer, your member, whoever, your client, they want to buy from somebody that has that bigger mission and impact. And it can't be fake. It can't be just like, it seems.
But that's the alignment they were talking about. Like if what you're saying isn't aligning with your actions, that's when stuff starts to feel weird from the team member level. And you're like, ugh. And that's like the culture erosion. So you're also talking about building. Was there ever, discussions within the organization about building an enduring organization? And did that impact, different goals and things that the company were working towards?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's never been a direct discussion of, we're going to keep this company for 100 years or 1,000 years.
Yeah.
The new ones that I'm building, it is very explicit. I say, there's a new company I'm putting out where the goal is that this is going to be around for 1,000 years and that it's going to be, I've been influenced by some of my indigenous elder wisdom keepers and this idea of 7 generations and like, what would that look like? And it's not for the short term quarterly results. It's like, how can this continue moving? And then that probably includes some new ways of ownership or new ways of joint ownership. There's some interesting.
Here you go. Small things. Giants again, Gino.
Small giant. Yeah. I mean, but they're all into, what is the long-term value, but there's some new formats coming up now, these DAOs, these decentralized autonomous organizations, which are really fascinating where people can contribute and have a stake in ownership and new coordinated ways of working together. It's almost like taking co-ops, but to the next level. And so I'm looking at something like that as well.
You said to me a couple of things before we started recording that really lent long-termism. You mentioned relationship capital, and you said, who has even more to gain than I do? Can you dive into those both real quick? And that sounds as if that's the foundation of how you've built yourself over the last 30, 35 years in business.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Gina. I love questions, right? Like your questions really dictate your answers, and the better the question, the better the answer you get. And so one of my favorite questions is, who has even more to gain than I do by this succeeding, by whatever the project is or the idea or the, promotion, whatever it is. And that way I'm trying to align with what do they want to see happen more. And for me, the biggest way that I've continued to grow is relationship capital. And that's through, it is a long-term way of thinking. It's, so many people are like, yeah, of course I believe in, your network is your net worth and they've heard all these things, but they don't always match up with our actions. And for me, it's about making sure that I'm delivering value to anyone that I meet. And not from a place of, I know that this could lead to something else, but more of like, you just really want to, I don't even know if it could be trained, but I think it can be of just leaning in and being like, okay, well, what are you working on? What are you most excited by? Like, that's one of my favorite questions too. When I meet someone, not what do you do? Like that's not that great, but what are you most excited by? Because it could be personal, it could be professional, it could be whatever. And then I typically might have a book or a resource or a person that I might want to introduce them to. And it's not out of, oh, I think there's a commission coming or some other thing coming later on, but literally just because I want to see whatever they're excited by, I want to see that get furthered in the world because I know that's going to create a greater impact. And so I've just continued to live my life that way for, you mentioned that, the 25, 30 years, whatever it's been in business. And it's really interesting when the conversation is what happens when you're not in the room. And I have so many people report back to me. They're like, oh my God, so-and-so is talking about you on stage and they they're talking about how great you were or whatever it is. And that's all great to hear, but it's a basis of delivering that value and making sure that relationship is there.
So we're speaking the language. What are you excited about right now?
Man, I'm excited about a lot. So I have, one of the things that you mentioned that I created is this thing called the Cosmic Journal. And it was just this little random, so I'm a big journaling fan. I teach journaling as well. I think it's one of the great success principles and foundational principles we can use to really get to know ourselves better. But I created this thing called the Cosmic Journal, which were all my own doodles and just a page that I wrote every single day for 108 days. I need to get you two out a copy. You'll like it. It works like an oracle. You just flip it open. It has a message for you. And when I hand it to people, I say, this is the galactic instruction manual you were missing when you were born to fulfill your destiny here.
I love that.
That's pretty, pretty impressive. What does it do for you?
Well, it really gives you, let's see if I have,
there's some, I need you to repeat the last piece of that because that's why I was a little paused there because it sounded like something out of Star Trek. And I just need to understand what you just said.
This is not it, but this is a different version.
The title was what again?
It's called the Cosmic Journal.
Okay, but there's a galactical something in there too.
When I hand it to someone, I say, this is your galactic instruction manual you were missing when you were born to fulfill your destiny here.
Oof. All right. I got you now. All right. It took me a second. It took me a minute.
Yeah. So it works like an oracle, but this is a different one, but they're all hand-drawn, like different pages. So actually, this is a good one. So it says, like, you know, write the next page, and it just says, use your journal to write what you want to see happen next. And so each one is like a little illustration with an idea of what, it's just something, a message for them to know.
Yeah. I got to pick it up because Gino got me on the journaling. He got me on gratitude a couple of years ago, but literally sent me this thing to systematize it a little bit more, where I'm being asked questions and I can fill them in. And so I'm on my quest. I'm on my galactical journaling quest. So I gotta connect with you afterwards and
get it. Yeah, you gotta add that to it. But journaling is such a great process. You know, you think about long-termism. It is like one of the best ways, especially if it's a process that you keep adding into your life. And so many people, they start journaling and stop it, or they feel guilty about it, about not doing it, or they have just like this of you know, that journaling is definitely, it's something that adds to your world. And it doesn't have to be a half hour or an hour each day. Mm-hmm. It could be literally 10 minutes. And I like everything as like experiments. And so if you give yourself, let's say, 21 day or 30 day, whatever it is, I use 33 days as a more specific number. And you say, okay, I'm going to give this a go, just like meditation or anything else that you might want to add into your world. And then there's a start point and an end point. And then you decide, okay, does it add more value into my life or not? But it's just like meditation as well. It's not a light switch moment. You can't journal for one day and you get something out of it. You will, but you won't get the full benefit. But if you do it for months and years, it's really interesting to see the patterns that
it's not like drinking a cup of coffee.
It's not totally like drinking a cup of coffee, but it's, but you know, coffee is a short term thing. It's not.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not like drinking a cup of coffee. Like you drink a cup of coffee, you might like perk up a little bit, right?
A little bit. Yeah. It depends. The journaling is that.
All right. It's not like drinking a 12 ounce thing of whiskey. Let's say that.
Right. There you go. Yeah, right. And but it's really interesting when you see the patterns, right? You're like, oh shit, I'm still worried about this. Right. I've been thinking about this forever. I need to either do something about it or not. Or it's like, I have this idea that continues sort of building and building and building. I've had, you know, things that have been 10 years in the making that I continue seeing the theme. And I'm like, all right, this is the year that I'm finally ready to.
Let's have go.
About it. Wow. Yeah, exactly. And it's powerful, and you can use it in a very serendipitous way. You're like, oh, I'm just going to go back and see what else, you know, here's what was I doing in this journal, or what was I doing on my birthday, you know, 8 years ago or something like that. And it's powerful. It also gives you, you're like, oh, I saw that was a challenge. Here's how I overcame it. It gives you even more confidence for anything that happens in your life.
Yannick, last question from me. When you're dealing with all these entrepreneurs, you've dealt with so many different people starting businesses. Can you give us one or two examples of that entrepreneur taking the short cut and really not thinking long-term, that maybe that get their itis, and how did it impact their business or how did it impact their company?
Yeah. You know, when you bring that up, you know, the thing that I first think of is somebody that maybe built their business on a tactic and they decided, so let's say, like, you know, search engine optimization was hot at a certain time. And they realized they could kind of game the system in some way by keyword stuffing or doing something that was, you know, maybe technically gray, whatever it was. And they saw a big pop originally. They're like, great, you know, I have this all figured out. And then the rules changed and they would either have to redo something. And so they're constantly like, you know, one step behind trying to change something. And they were just never making big progress because they didn't build on a solid foundation. They didn't build on something that would just stick with them. So like for me, the relationship capital is something that sticks with you, right? Like, you know, I can go through my cell phone and text anyone probably in 3 o'clock in the morning that's in there that I have a good relationship with. And they would be like, yeah, what do you need? You know, what's happening? But if I built something on a tactic, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. You know, the speed of tech is beyond me. And the speed of most companies that are traded is beyond me, stocks and things like that. I don't know what's really going on there. To me, it's sort of like gambling. Like I never got into crypto because it was sort of like I got to pay more than the next guy. And if ever, you know, it's like the Warren Buffett thing. If everyone owns all the crypto, well, what's it worth to the next guy? Nothing, right? And so we've always built our foundations. We're kind of like stodgy old farts, but we buy apartments because it's a basic human need. And I told Gino, if we ever get into another business, it's going to be water. We're going to get springs and we're going to offer people nice, refreshing bottled water. Maybe it'll even be chilled. I don't know if we'll have time, right? But so it's that type of thinking that for many people, potentially, I'm not saying everyone should do what we do, or I'm just saying from my experience, it's worked well for us because the speed that things are going and the competition out there is real and is fierce. So find out what you want. And that's when we come back to long-term thinking. I know that I want a nice, stable business that I'm going to, you know, attempt to become an expert at, that's going to provide generational wealth for my family. It's something that can be passed down. Look inside and find out what's important to you. That's essentially what we've done, and that's why we're in the multifamily space. When you're applying long-termism or long-term thinking to your business, how has that impacted your decision-making, and does any of this apply to you?
Yeah, that's a great point. I love the, you know, the idea that you can look at some boring stuff and make that really, like, that those are the fundamentals. And to me, the boring stuff is the values-based things that you brought up at the very beginning. It's like, also personally, like, knowing your own values, like, what am I, what do I say yes to? What do I say no to? How do I do business?
I'm not doing some kind of marketing. See, I can't even say it. Marketing or tech thing, right?
right. And for some people, that is really exciting for them because
nothing wrong with it.
The newest thing, and they can stay ahead of it. And mm-hmm. and there's a lot of opportunity there too. But it is really aligning with who are you with where is the opportunity, and then where is, you know, is there a trade-off between this constant sort of thing constantly changing and you know you can be ahead of it, or is it, you know, more interesting to be like, all right, I know the foundational principles and I'm gonna grow this, but I still think that there's opportunities for innovation and bringing
let's say
greater impact and greater, you know, ways that really make a difference. So even something that is a typical business like this multifamily kind of rental business or selling, but there's so many ways of, let's say, adding deeper community within the people that live in these complexes. It's adding, you know, ways of creating an impact for that community, and all of that continues driving the flywheel that is going to make it more valuable.
No, I completely agree, and we're all about finding better ways to serve our customers, our residents. And look, if it's our innovation, may be a dog park, right? It may not be super crazy. It may be adding a hookup for electric cars, whatever the case may be. But it's just not at the speed of the tech game that, you know, like a Google or a Facebook are operating at. That's the only difference.
Well, back to that same, you know, question that I asked originally to become a millionaire, which is, how do I provide 10x to 100x in value for return? And so you're constantly asking that question, like, the dog park is an extra value. The electric hookup is an extra value. So all of those are really powerful questions.
We started a flooring company. We're putting, the vinyl plank flooring in all our units, right? It's just going to be a 20-year floor. It's good for us. Residents love it. So it's those types of things. It's just not at the speed of, you know, what's going on in tech and code and all that stuff. So, what about yourself? What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you if they want to work with you, reach out? Is there a hub? What's the best way?
So I blog every once in a while at yannicksilver.com, YANIKSilver.com. I'm on a little bit on Instagram at yannicksilver. And then also, if they are 7, 8, or 9-figure entrepreneurs, they should check out maverick1000.com and see what we're doing there.
Awesome. Very cool. Yannick, appreciate your time today. Folks, if you want to learn more about our 100-year thinking, you go to 100100REI.com, and we'll see you next time. Yannick, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Gino.
Thanks, Yannick.